Recently, former Prime Minister Paul Keating used a university lecture in Melbourne to voice his concerns about privacy in the media. Keating says many media outlets are abusing the community's right to privacy and uniform laws should be put in place. Currently, media publications are all self-regulated, and Keating's latest comments have brought the privacy debate back in full swing. Should the media be more strictly governed by privacy laws? And if so, how will these laws be regulated? Brittany Klein spoke to Roger Clark, who chairs the Australian Privacy Foundation.
In his lecture to students in Melbourne, Paul Keating said he felt the media needed uniform privacy across all publications. But is this ever really possible?
See, the justification for publishing data about individuals must be based on something. And it's not good enough to say, oh, the public's interested in this. This would be fun. We're all voyeurs. We'd all like to know things that are embarrassing about other people. That's not sufficient, because that's an invasion of privacy which isn't balanced against some other public interest. What there have been quite a lot of circumstances in which we'd all agree that there's a need to invade a person's privacy because some public interest is more powerful. So if we're talking about a politician has been hypocritical, now that's a pretty strong justification, and it's pretty hard for anybody to go into bat on behalf of privacy when there's such an important countervailing factor. The media does understand some of these unwritten rules, and we should get them written down so the public can look at them and say, yes, those ones are fair enough, and then the media can get on with the business.
In terms of consent, it's a widespread idea that some celebrities or public figures make money solely by the fact that they are in the public sphere, and that means they forgo their rights to privacy. Do you think that's the case, or everyone should be consenting?
A person who lives off their exposure in the media, and we agree there's plenty of them, are they really giving their consent every time they walk in the toilet to the media to install a camera inside the toilet? I mean, it's quite silly to suggest that there's a blanket consent that a person provides just because they're an attention seeker. And bear in mind that some of the people we talk about being in the public eye are only in the public eye for very particular purposes. So the media have got to watch themselves when they run this line that some people have just given away their rights.
But I guess that goes back to what you said earlier. Take David Campbell, for example, where he was... what he was saying in the public eye definitely was hypocritical of what he was doing in private. How then can you draw that line?
Let's take John Howard versus Bob Hawke, and let's take their public persona as we all think we understand them. Bob Hawke was a philanderer. Unless there was something significant, such as we think the woman that he's bedding is a Russian agent, unless there's something significant like that, there was insufficient public interest in publishing information about his infidelity, because he'd never stood up and said he was a paragon of virtue. And the media, to their credit, did not blow the whistle on Bob Hawke's infidelities. Now take the John Howard situation. John Howard had not merely said he supported family values, but he harped on and on about it. He continually put his family in front of the news. He continually leveraged that public perception. Had he ever been caught out, the media would have had absolutely no hesitation in blowing the whistle on him. And that's one that, from a privacy perspective, we would think is an appropriate balance. In other words, the media could make that judgment call. And the general consensus with that New South Wales minister was that it really wasn't actually the public's business.
But it is correct to say that it is a very thin, blurry line.
It's always the case with pretty much everything with social values that difficult judgment calls have to be made.
Keating also said the fundamental principles of journalism, such as the public right to know, which we talked about earlier, should be protected. But how can you protect this and yet maintain privacy in all regards?
Well, by achieving balances. When you're about to publish something that includes personal data, you've got to pull that bit of personal data out and say, now, supposing that bit of data wasn't in the story, would that make a difference to either the story or the impact of the story? Why is it there? And that's the sorts of testing that's got to go on, and people do make these professional judgments calls. We're saying get the criteria out in the open so that we can educate people and know where we stand.
Keating also said the media was often abusing the current self-regulation that exists. Would you agree with him in this regard?
Well, the self-regulation is a total joke. Self-regulation is about wolves nominally looking after the sheep and nominally for the sheep's benefit, and that's just nonsense. They basically try to avoid any form of actual regulation by pretending to have the system running decently. So it's a nonsense to think that self-regulation by itself can work. When there are editors and outlets in various parts of the media who continually transgress, who continually go beyond these lines and get away with it holus bolus, that kind of repeat offence, we believe, has got to have some serious sanctions attached to it.
From the Australian Privacy Foundation, Roger Clark was speaking there to Brittany Klein.